From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
It was in the backside of the desert, Moses learned humility. He taught Moses submission. He taught Moses accountability. He taught Moses humility. I think I already said that. And he also taught him how to stick with it, perseverance. He taught him endurance, work ethic, humility. I think I already said that. Accountability. He taught him how to forgive. He taught him confidence, humility. I think I said that. And godliness. And he taught him one of the greatest lessons of all. He taught him. Very good. See?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Yesterday, we began a message on the life of Moses and how God required him to let go of his dream before it could come to pass. If your dream has been shattered, don't lose hope. Today, we'll learn that it's often just part of the process. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Moses, an appointment with God.
It's time to draw near. Now, it's not going to always be fun, but God's going to start working on your life. Fathers, draw near to God. Sons and daughters, draw near to God. Sometimes, young ladies, God will give you a dream of what your marriage could be or what your family could be, what wonderful future. And you think, that's what I want. That's what I want. Nothing wrong with that. Just grab a hold of it. Here's a problem. When you don't see it come to pass, you try to bring it to pass on your own way and you violate the commands of God. And you bring it about in your own way that is against God's law and against God's ways, because we don't recognize this time, this season, where God's working in you to prepare you for what that dream was to be. And so because we violate it, we put ourselves away in a wrong place, in a long place. And God is saying, if you'll recognize what I'm doing, you won't work against me. You'll start to work for me. It's time to draw near to God. Draw near to God. He's going to work on you. Not always fun. Some years ago, I had a scary encounter with a masked man wielding a knife. And I'm real grateful for that, because that masked man was an orthopedic surgeon and his knife was a scalpel. I paid thousands of dollars to this masked man to work on my knee because I had injured it in soccer, and so he cut away on it. And then after it was done, a lot of pain after the anesthesia wore off. And then he made me do stuff in therapy with my leg, like walk on it and bend it in positions I didn't want to bend it in. And he kept making me do this. And I did it. You know why? Because he wanted me to have full use of my leg again. Now, he knew it was going to cause me some pain. But I listened to him and I did it, as painful as it was. Why? Because I trusted that this person wanted my good and not my bad. And during this season, God's going to do the same thing to you and to me. He's going to work on us, and he's going to do some cutting away in us, because a dream comes through much effort. But it's time to draw near to God, and you'll hear the voice of God. Would you read James 4:8? It's one of my favorite verses of all time. Let's read it. Go. Draw near to God, and he will draw near. It's a great verse to memorize. Draw near to God. Isn't that a great verse? And he'll draw near to you. It's time for us to draw near to God. Because when you do, you'll start to hear the voice of God. And when Moses saw God in that burning bush, God gave him an assignment that would last him the rest of his life. That was after 40 years, though. And God did a lot of stuff on the inside of him. Because you see, 40 years prior, when Moses got that dream of being a leader, a deliverer, he had passion, but he didn't have any of the preparation. He had the privilege, but he didn't have the penalties. He wanted the riches, but no responsibilities. He wanted the call, but not the consequences of missing that. And God says, it's time to work. Now listen carefully. It is then that when you hear the voice of God as you draw near, you'll have the third appointment with God. And that's exactly it. Would you just write number three? The appointment with God. That's where God gives you the assignment that'll last you a long time. Because before then, you don't really know what you want. God gives you a dream, but we're still scattered. God works in our lives. We have a dream, the death of the dream. God works deeply in our soul. Then there's an appointment. An appointment where God gives you an assignment that'll take you the long way. But that season between the dream and the appointment is the death of the dream. And that season is probably, of all appointments, the most important of all. That's the most important of all. And that's what I want you to recognize. A lot of things to do. I remember when I became a Christian, the Lord spoke to my heart. In fact, I was at a Billy Graham seminar just 3 or 4 days after becoming a Christian. And Billy Graham said, if you're here and God has spoken to you about going into full-time ministry, stand. All of a sudden, it's like something pulled me up and I found myself standing and I thought, whoa, what have I done? And then I thought, that's the Lord. Well, I was really excited to just jump into ministry. But then God said, no, you're not going into ministry. You're going to school. You're going to take courses you don't want to take. You're going to have to do stuff you don't want to do. And after Bible college and then some graduate courses, and then I went into an internship, then I went into a youth pastoring position, and went into Youth for Christ. Then 11 years later, I took a fledgling group in Hilo. 12 years after that, or 23 years, then the Lord said, you come to Honolulu. 23 years. I thought, wow, that's a long time. But God was training. He was doing stuff in me. He was teaching me about work ethic. He was teaching me about how to do without, how to persevere, how to overcome temptation, how to overcome discouragement, how to develop financial integrity. There's a whole bunch of stuff, and to die to certain things. I remember when, you know, I used to ride motorcycles when I was in college. And so when I got married, my wife said, no riding motorcycles. I said, why? She said, because when we have children, I want them to have a father that's alive. I'm not going to die. Oh, I want you to ride motorcycles. Well, after we got married, I saw this beautiful Kawasaki 750. And so I came home, I remember one day, and I said, honey, there's a beautiful 750 Kawasaki I'd like to buy. She said, what's it called? I said, a Kawasaki. She looked at me, she said, I don't care if it's a Tokioki. So I put it away until years and years later, I saved and saved, and I had enough for a Harley, and it was when my kids were in high school. So I said, honey, what about now? She said, okay, all right, you can get one. So I bought this Harley Davidson. It was like the love of my life, you know? I was out there in the garage, man, I was polishing it. I actually cleaned it with a Q-tip to make sure that it was clean every single place. That baby was spick and span. I slept with that. I read stories to it at night, did devotions with it, everything. I just loved this thing, man. It was like, oh man, it was my baby. And I remember polishing it one day and the Lord spoke to me and he said, can you give that up? And when you hear stuff like that, you go, no way, I didn't hear that. Isn't that right? And then it's like the Lord spoke to me again. Can you give that up? Can you just give that up for me? And I thought, oh no, don't tell me that. No, no, God, don't say that. And he said, can you give that up? Can you give it up? 2 months I wrestled with that. I remember polishing my bike and I started perspiring. Oh. Until I finally said, okay, I'll give it up. And the Lord said, good, and put it up for sale in the newspaper. No! You know, it's easy to say, oh, hallelujah, yeah, until God says, okay, move forward with it. It's like, oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. So he said, put it in the paper for a couple of weeks. I cannot tell you how hard it was, but I thought, I got to die to it. God said, die to it. So I called the newspaper, put an ad in, the classified, and I thought, oh, man. And so it's like the second day this guy calls me and comes over and is looking at the bike, and I'm praying, Lord, blind his eyes, Lord. But you know what? Finally, I have to just say, I'm done. Because once it's in the paper, you got to die to it. And it was, and you can ask my wife, true story. And when after 2 weeks, nobody bought it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But nobody bought it. And this is what God said. Okay, you died to it. Now you can have it back. Because now it doesn't own you. And when I ask you to give stuff up, you can give it up. Because I will ask you this many more times to keep you free from the things of this world. And since that time, there have been dozens and dozens of things that God's asked me to give up. Whether it be possessions, to give things away, or finances, to give it away. So then God says, when you're able to give it away, then I can run more through you. Otherwise, you'll be a cul-de-sac of greed rather than a conduit of my provision for others. And that came way back in the backside of a desert when God said, die to it. Die to that. I always remember that. And that helped me so much. Of course, I put it in for $65,000, but no, I just joke. And you're going to be in the backside of a desert too in a dream, where God's going to have you die to that dream. It'll be a death of a dream. But please, please remember, that season is probably the most important of all seasons, because that's where it makes or breaks you. And most of the time, we fall right there. We violate all of God's commandments because we're too impetuous. And God is saying, I'm going to work on your perseverance. Because everything, Moses, you will need to lead the people will be built here. And you take a look at what God did with Moses, how he taught Moses. When your dream dies, God teaches you just like he taught Moses. Because in the backside of the desert, Moses learned humility. Which is, he's going to say to Moses, you ain't all that you think you're cracked up to be. And God's going to have the death to your dream and mine to tell us that humility is very critical, because you ain't all that you cracked up to be. Most of us are just a legend in our own minds. We think we can just kind of do it all. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to teach you submission. He taught Moses submission. He taught Moses accountability. He taught Moses humility. I think I already said that. And he also taught him how to stick with it, perseverance. He taught him endurance, work ethic, humility. I think I already said that. Accountability. He taught him how to forgive. He taught him confidence, humility. I think I said that. And godliness. Developed a deep relationship with God, how to obey God even when it's inconvenient. And he taught him one of the greatest lessons of all. He taught him. Yeah. Very good, see? Yeah. So you thought Wayne's getting old, he's repeating himself. No. Yeah, you see, a lot of it is he has to strip us of our pride and our arrogance, thinking that we're like God's gift to mankind. And the Lord took a Pharaoh and made him a shepherd. 40 years of that. Because God knew that Moses had the tendency, the penchant, to drop out when things get a little rough. He did with the Egyptian, killed him. When the Jews or the Hebrews didn't like him, I'm out. He was ready to bail out. And God knew that perseverance, endurance, was something that he would need to lead 2 million people in the desert for 40 years. There's going to be a lot of chances and opportunities and times that he'd like to just bail out. And God says, no, you got to learn this, and it's only going to be learned in the backside of the desert. And he learned it during the death of a dream. And God's going to teach us that as well. And then he gave him his appointment. Listen, no matter what season you're in, you need to recognize what God is doing. Some of you are in the first season where God's given you a dream. Take a hold of it. It's wonderful. But then there's going to come, on the heels of that, often the death of a dream. Don't bail out. He's now doing surgery. The master healer is doing some stuff on the inside. Cooperate. Otherwise, you will work against, you'll compete against, you will act against, you'll not cooperate with God. Not because you hate him, because you don't know him and how he works. And you'll violate much of what God is wanting to do. And you need to be faithful in your present assignment. Even if it's, brother, you've been demoted and you're working, washing dishes when you think you should be doing this. Wash dishes faithfully. Be faithful in your present assignment, because it ain't about your job, it's about your heart right now. And if you don't recognize that appointment with God, you'll miss the kingdom. You'll bump right up to it and you'll miss it again and again and again. Recognize what God's doing. And then will come the appointment. Your assignment that'll take you a long way. But God has to build something in you first. Let me read to you a scripture. In fact, take a look at your last verse on the bottom of your notes. And let me tell you how holy this is. Let's read that. The Lord said to him, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. Yeah. In the book called Gems Along the Way, it's a New York bestseller, should have been, and wasn't. I wrote these letters to my kids when they were young, like 2, 3, 4 years old, lessons I was learning in hopes that when they grow older, they'd read it for themselves. They didn't. And I was going to read it to you instead. But this is called The Setting of a Gem. Dear Amy, Aaron, and Abby, I saw a lady's 5-carat diamond ring the other day. Wow, was that ever impressive. The diamond must have been worth $30,000. That was a rock. Now, the band was just a simple gold band. Holding the diamond in place was a setting that must have included 4 or 5 fingers. My, I thought to myself, that setting had better be strong because it's holding a rock worth $30,000. Now, although the setting doesn't get much attention as the diamond itself, it's equally as important. For any wise jeweler would never put such a precious jewel in such a poor or weak setting. If he did, then one small bump and the gem would be lost. You see, the strength and the quality of the setting will determine the security and staying power of the gem. Character is like that setting. God has promised us such wonderful gems. Yet without the basis of character, these gems or his promises would be lost or forfeited at the first bump we hit. Now, whether the gem is a marriage or an influential position or a ministry or finances or a family, each of these will require deep character. And this is the setting that needs to be developed prior to the placement of the gem. And like a wise jeweler, God doesn't want to put a precious gem into a faulty setting. So strengthen your setting. Build your character. Learn to forgive, to be diligent, to be honest. Learn to stay steady and faithful, to keep commitments, to go by what you know rather than how you feel. Then God will refine your metal until it's pure gold. He will shape your character until it's strong and trustworthy. Then, when God sees that the setting is ready, he will be faithful to place his very best gems in your life. And that's when you will shine. Love, Dad. And then I wrote a P.S. I was really considering purchasing a diamond like that for your mom. But her hand alone is so beautiful, why mess it up with a rock? So whatever season you're in, be faithful to your present assignment. Recognize the appointments with God. Don't violate his commands. Because when you walk true with him and God puts his gem on your life, that's when you will shine. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude in prayer? As we conclude, you know, there's some of you today, you say, you know, Wayne, I'm wrestling with some stuff because I really want God to fulfill his will in my life, but I've violated stuff already. I've violated it to a point where I don't know where I am with God. And there's some of you saying, I've got to just start. I mean, I don't really know God. I know I need him. I need his lead. I want him to be involved in my life. I need forgiveness because I violated his principles so often. But today, I know I need to come and ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to be my Lord, to take the wheel, to be my Savior. Because I need to have a relationship with God, to know his ways. And the way you know God is to walk with God. And that's why Jesus says, come follow me. But it's a decision that we must make to turn from our ways to walk with his. And when we walk with him, that's called having or beginning a relationship with Christ. That's what it means to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you're willing to do that, God says, I'll exchange your checkered past for my preferred future. And that happened at the cross, where the Lord received authority to make that transfer of my checkered past for His preferred future. He gained that authority by shedding His blood on the cross. But He won't force that on you. The most eternal appointment you'll have with God is when you simply say yes to His invitation, when He says, come and follow me. And if that's you today, God is waiting for your reply to His question, will you follow me? Will you give up your life so that I can give you mine? If that's you today, say yes to Jesus. You say, how do I do that? Just by letting Him know. If that's you today and you want to say yes to receive Christ, I want you right now to raise a hand, and in doing so, you're saying yes to Him. Go ahead. He sees you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. On the side. Yeah. In the back. Raise your hands. Yeah. Okay. The Lord sees those. Yeah. Okay. On the side. The Lord sees that as well. All right. You can put your hands down. If this is your first time, there's a table outside. Please stop by the concierge table or any table and just say, can I get a yes packet? In it is a Bible and some follow-up material that'll help you in your first few steps with Christ. Make sure you grab one of those. You might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm in that second stage. I hate it, but I've been impetuous and impatient, and I've taken matters into my own hands. I just need God's strength, His forgiveness, that He would work things bad together for good. I turn from my ways to His. Will you pray for me and that the strength that God has will be given to me? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, God, would you do that, Lord? Would you do that? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and let's all pray this together as we conclude. Would you say this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn my life over to you. I will follow you. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I can hear myself, so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for embracing us and receiving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Again.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Moses, An Appointment with God by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.